Welcome, Visit Julian Podcast. We are just rolling right along talking to the Julian businesses. It's getting serious and it's getting fun. So today we have Chip from Chipper's Board and Train. And if you didn't know, you could just read it on his t-shirt, which I just did.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome, Chip. So Chipper's Board and Train, it's not for women or men. You don't train wives or husbands. You train animals.
Animals. Dogs more often than not.
Right.
And I have two cats, which are well trained, and they go on walks with me too, which is fun.
That's cool. I had a lady.
Animal training.
I had a lady come in yesterday here to town hall, asking if the lake restaurant was pet friendly, and I said yes. Anyway, long story short, she had a cat that she wanted to bring on the deck to eat. So people need to train their cats.
Training for cats, it's a thing.
Yeah. So I guess for the purposes of our conversation, we can focus on dogs, but you are relatively new to the Julian community, right?
Yeah, you're in some change.
Yeah. If you're a little old time local, you're just a baby in the.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's all relative.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Right. But so you brought with you this idea and this you purchased property that supports that idea of Chipper's Board and
Train. Absolutely, it's 4.25 acres and it's tucked back off of the 79, which works well for dogs that are potential flight risks or, fear aversion kind of behaviors, so that we can help keep them safe.
Good.
A place to run around.
Yeah. So let's start with just the basics of what services that you offer to those who have animals.
So services range from coaching, that's in-person coaching at the person's home, the pet owner's home, or they can come to the farm and we can do a coaching session. This can be virtual as well. So the coaching is me teaching the animal owner how to train their animal. So I do this through demonstration, either with their dog or my dog, if it's virtual, and then they try to replicate what I did, and then I coach them along the way, and I help improve their timing, their mechanics. This is clicker training. It's positive reinforcement training. So we're using a clicker, and we're using treats to reinforce the behavior that they just exhibited. The other services I provide are a daycare and train and a board and train. So the daycare obviously would be for people that are closer to where I am, where they would drop their dog off, and I would spend 8 hours training various behaviors, whatever's needed for that individual. The board and train, same thing, only the dog stays overnight with me, abiding by any of the same rules that the dog has at home, in no bed, no couch kind of rules.
I don't have those rules.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. I don't have those rules. So the cats and the dog, my own, stay with us in the bed. And it's one of the best things about life, actually.
I love
waking up to the animals. So.
Yeah.
So when they're born and trained, they actually stay with us in the bed if that's allowed. And I come up with a plan before the dog arrives, and I proceed with training according to that plan and document daily the successes that we have.
So if someone's boarding their dog with you for a train, is it a week? Is it a couple of days? And I know that you're going to say that it's flexible depending on what the needs and yada yada, but I'm talking on average. Like if I have this dog and I want it trained to, come when I call it and sit and stay and, all those good things, stay off of the couch, God forbid. What does that entail? Is that a week? Is that a month? That kind of stuff.
Since I've been a Karen Pryor graduate for about a year now, I've had, half a dozen board and trains, and they average about 3 days. And 3 days seems to be about right for getting the behavior modification that we're looking for. I currently have one board and train, Gus. And he is chasing shiny things. I call it the bedazzlement. So we're hoping that
the world is shiny.
That's right. Removing Gus from the environment that he lives in for a few days and nights will cause the behavior to extinguish. And that's kind of the goal here. In addition to that, being removed from the home environment and the routines that he already has, he gets new activities, new behavior training with me. And oftentimes these new behaviors transfer back to the home environment, which is a wonderful thing. So as I gain more experience as a relatively new trainer, I'll have more confidence in determining how long a specific animal needs for a specific behavior modification. But this, the board and train and daycare train are tools that we have that I offer along the way, or sometimes right off the bat, depending on what it is. Sometimes I discover through coaching a couple times, like, hey, you know, it looks like you don't have the time to do the training that's necessary to change the behaviors. So let me come in and work with your dog for a couple days and then give them back to you and see if that helps.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So we supplement the coaching with the board and train.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's like for me, I have a dog. Now you're just going to give me a little coaching session here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm using the podcast to get
wonderful.
I have a dog that I am 100% sure is a genius. And she wants so much to be a good dog, but she's also extremely impulsive. So, and we live down, you know, in the desert, and there are noises and coyotes and rabbits. I fear if she ever gets out of her yard and gets a rabbit, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I don't know. But it's like that kind of dog, like I think she just, I told my husband all the time, I feel bad that we're her owners, because I think she could be out in the world like doing some amazing things, you know? And so, but I don't know how to hone that genius that she has to make her do what I want her to do when I want her to do it. And when, when I'm saying that is I don't want her to perform, but when I want her ass off the couch, because I'm having some problems physically with my leg, and she gets on and she grinds her paws into my leg, not trying to hurt me. So I'm really trying hard to teach her off, like that word, one word, off, you know, and then I take her by the chest and I, because she's on me, and I'll just push her chest and say off and move her to that spot, you know, because it's a love seat and there's a console in the middle, you know, and I keep just trying. Does that seem like that's the reasonable thing to do? One word followed by an action, off.
Yeah. So in positive reinforcement, we do a lot of redirecting. So if we have a behavior that is, you know, unwanted,
painful,
which we now deem a misbehavior, then we have to provide an alternative behavior. So, me growing up in Texas, it was, you know, stomp your foot, shout no. But then what? So the dog is like, well, I'm going to go back to doing what I wanted to do until you stomp again. And so, and then when the stomper leaves, they just do whatever they want.
Right.
This is why positive punishment doesn't work, because it only works when you're there and you have to keep maintaining it.
Right.
So, if we were to redirect by first saying, let me have your attention, eye contact, and then how about you chew on your bone, or play this game of fetch, or how about a game of tug, or relax on the mat like I showed you how to do, or let's go take a quick time out in your crate, or would you like to go outside for potty? So a big challenge of this is, what does my dog do as an alternative to what it is doing that I deem miss behavior? And this is a challenge, because there's a lot of things like targeting that animals that can do, and this is part of what I coach is, what can I have my dog do as an alternative
to like smashing my sore leg on the couch.
And oftentimes there's some brief foundational things that we teach them. One of the major ones is how to relax and do nothing. The act of doing nothing is, you know, ironically doing something.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So many times if we teach our dogs how to relax and do nothing, then when you are doing nothing, they are doing nothing.
Right.
Because they learn through an antecedent arrangement that, oh, mom's sitting, I'll sit too and wait until it's time to do something.
Right, yeah.
So this is...
So as an owner, I need to be, you know, aware of the fact that the dogs at times need to do something, you know? And And it's a lot easier in the summer because we have a swimming pool and we go out in the back and all the dogs, we have four dogs now, just recently lost one, so we had five. But, you know, the pool in the backyard during the summer, but when it's winter, it's freezing and, you know, you just want to cuddle up in a blanket and you want your dog to stop hurting your leg, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's my responsibility, I get it.
Well, yeah, it's a mind shift that I found very challenging in the beginning, where, you know, we're actually looking for the behaviors that we like during the day and reinforcing those with, you know, attaboys, praise, treats, or toys. So oftentimes we find ourselves reacting to things we don't like, where if we flip it, and we look for things we do and reinforce those, what we find that over the course of days and weeks, that they start exhibiting those behaviors that we like. Because we told them yes.
Yes, well, you just described how to raise a toddler. I mean,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, yeah,
there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, like if you had a group of children and a couple of them are misbehaving, but one of them is being really great, you don't focus on the kids who are misbehaving.
Exactly.
You turn your focus to the child and praise them for and verbalize the behaviors that they're doing that you appreciate, and the other
yes.
kids see it and want
exactly.
that same. So. Yeah.
Nobody's saying this is easy.
Right. Yeah.
This is something like learning how to relax mm-hmm. and be still and calm mm-hmm. is a skill.
Sure.
That we all have to learn how to do.
Yeah.
Just like we have to learn how to look for the things we love about life.
Right.
And behaviors that dogs exhibit.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. Yeah.
Because they don't become present in our psyche until they're doing something that bothers you.
Yeah.
And then you react to it.
Yeah. 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 Like my little butt smack this morning. Yeah. Stop it! And when you have four dogs with distinct personalities and they range in size, you know, there's a whole other dynamic.
There's so much going on there.
Yeah, and we just bring dogs in and somehow it works. You know, we had a time when it didn't, and we literally for about 6 months had to have two dogs on separate parts of the property. Like the mm-hmm. one dog was on the house side and the smaller dog run, and the other one was on the laundry room side in the backyard, because we have two dog runs on either side. And it was, and like when you open the baby gate, you had to be really careful, you know, because they fought for it, and it got ugly.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a scuffle. It was blood dripping.
Oh, wow.
And
I've seen this. It's terrifying.
I thought I was going to have to give away my dog. It's my dog and my husband's dog that weren't getting along. And there's no way, you know, dutiful wife, I was going to take away my husband's dog. So I cried and cried and cried. And then because my nervousness made it worse. So when I wasn't around, my husband would just put the two dogs together and ignore them.
Yeah.
And he was doing his thing. And after a while, it just became normal. And I got comfortable with having the two dogs together. Then we couldn't give one dog affection with the other dog around. We had to, like, just ignore them for a while.
Yes.
And
this is an important lesson.
Yeah.
What they call objective observation, mm-hmm. where humans tend to need a narrative attached to a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just stop for a moment and watch, obviously this is a specific case where there's blood involved.
Blood. Lots of blood.
But normally when there's not blood and teeth involved, if we just watch for a moment, we're able to sort of see what's causing the behavior to be reinforced sometimes. Mm-hmm. They call functional assessments, antecedent behavior consequences, called ABCs. So behaviors repeat because they are reinforced. Mm-hmm. There's some reason that behavior is being exhibited over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to identify what is reinforcing that behavior so that we can intervene and provide something else to do or remove it from the environment.
Yeah.
Obviously, the dog can't attack the dog if you remove the dog like you did.
We did,
right?
Yeah.
So your separation through managing your environment, partitioning, can be helpful. And then slowly reincorporate together and while everyone's calm.
Right. Well, I wasn't there because my stress level was just too much.
That
because,
can have
you know,
a big impact on me.
Oh, yeah. And once that blood happened, and it was just awful. And so, like I said, he just let them out in that one yard together and just did his, like, yard work, the pool filter, whatever. It just completely ignored the dogs.
Mm.
And we still have a little bit sometimes of intimidation that goes on. I mean, one's a Rottweiler. German Shepherd, and the other one's a heeler pit bull.
It might be quite the fight.
Yeah. Oh, it was an ugly fight. I can't even begin to tell you, Chip. It was
large breeds. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful. But what we've learned to distract them, they understand the word nice, and I say it with that tone. And when they hear me say nice, that gets their attention.
Ah,
and
that's a redirect.
It just
do you get eye contact?
Yeah, they'll. I don't know if when I say it, they stop what they're doing and
look
at me.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's one of the foundational behaviors that I help people learn is their name or an orienting sound like nice.
Yeah.
Is the first step.
Yeah.
Once you have them looking at you, then you can ask them to do something else.
Yes,
like
start
not
walking.
Chew on each other.
Yeah, or, well, like, if it gets to a point where, I hope this is okay for our conversation, the purposes of the podcast?
Of course, yeah. Okay. It's a real world example.
Right, so...
And it's specific to every person and their needs of how I'm able to help. I have to get in everybody's business.
Right.
I go in their home.
Yeah.
I gotta see how the place is laid out.
Yeah.
Who lives there.
Right, yeah.
What their routines are like in order to help.
Yeah, so, sure. So like you said, to redirect, if it gets to a point where I'm nervous, like a lot of times I can just say it and they'll just do their own thing. Like they'll separate. But if I'm feeling like this isn't... My nice didn't work as much as I wanted to, just the word. So I'll get up and I'll move. Like I'll go somewhere.
Really,
and then they just follow me to what I'm doing.
That's
or
good.
I can call just one of them and that one will follow me. And
that's
perfect. Because
so what you're doing there is you're changing the antecedent arrangement.
Right.
You know, whatever is there at a specific moment in time is causing tension.
Mm-hmm.
So rearrange it, you mix it up, change it, and then that causes the tension to be... will dissipate.
Yeah. For us, it was an absolute necessity. We were going to end up having to give rehome one of our dogs.
Yeah.
You know, and that was heartbreaking to me because I really love my dog, and Mark really loves his dog, and I really love Mark. So my dog was going to go, and it was devastating. And now, I mean, it's sometimes, but so you know, you can do it, people.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. There's. Some of the challenges that I have with helping people learn how to train their animals is giving them tangible things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes practice and work. I'm still, and I will continue for my entire life, perfect my timing and my technique. It's not something that, like many things in life, we continue to learn and grow.
Yeah, hopefully all things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when I grew up, before I became a trainer, I just thought that dog training was, you know, a few tricks, and you're kind of a cool guy if your dog would, you know, jump up and around or whatever and get a ball, and that was kind of macho. And
sure.
You know, but it's so much more than that. There's
absolutely
a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, for sure. And it, you know, it's worth it to bring peace to the home. And, you know, if you're going to choose to have a dog or dogs, you know, you kind of choose a responsibility and not to, you know, throw away a dog because it, you know, it doesn't work. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes I understand things like that happen. And but, you know, there's people like you that help people like me, you know, work through it so that at the end, you know, there's a happy home.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. With the clicker training, it's not uncommon at all to show somebody the foundational behaviors like targeting, relaxing, eye contact, recall, and some leash walking. Those basic foundational behaviors go so far in helping harmony in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And those basic foundational things are just seem very difficult for people to learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the unwanted behaviors just stop because you've created this communication tool with your dog, and they now get you.
Yeah. I get you, man. You know? I get you.
Because you were saying yes a lot. You're saying yes with treats.
Yeah.
And they like that.
Yeah,
you know, they like hearing yes, just like we do.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you did a good job.
Yeah, totally. Totally, yeah. Hey, you're awesome.
And
yeah. The treat thing absolutely works
out. They learn
out.
Really quick. Yeah.
So our dogs want to kill the UPS man. It's like when the UPS guy comes, oh, forget it. All hell breaks loose.
This is such a fascinating example. Barking at people approaching the home.
Mm-hmm.
Male or whatever. So it's largely or commonly out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog is saying, red alert, red alert.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's approaching. I must tell everybody and bark at this thing until it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, what we call unintentional cueing,
mm-hmm.
is where basically where the dog barks until the...
threat is gone.
Threat is gone. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And now that the barking is reinforced.
Right, because the threat's gone.
Automatically reinforced because the threat is gone. So this is really common.
Super
so they think, you know, look what I did.
Yeah.
I barked and that person went away. Wow. Next time they come, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. It's
it
every
works.
Time.
It
it's
works.
So, and I just, it drives me crazy.
Yeah. So you have to intervene and redirect or manage your environment. Close your blinds.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
Have them busy tugging on a toy.
Yeah.
while someone approaches. So.
And I know that the UPS guy comes between 2 and 3. What the hell is my problem?
They're ready for it. Yeah.
And, but Julian, the
they
smart...
They can read clocks.
I'm sure they've got a biological one. But Julian, my smart dog, the one that I was talking about, she now knows when the UPS man comes, if I call her and she comes, she immediately gets a treat. Like, I stop whatever I'm doing and I bring her a treat because she knows if I don't bark at this man and I come in the house, I'm going to get a cracker. So yeah. She's the only one. I got 4 of them and she's the only one. So I'm saying she's smart. The other 3 are idiots. But yeah. She'll just, I'm going to get food if I don't bark at this dude. And she comes in the house. So yeah. So yeah. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that has that problem, the barking dog at the house.
Multiple dog households are a unique challenge because from what I have gathered, training each individual animal separately, solo, is really important. So they learn the behavior one-on-one, and then they'll behave. They know what to do as a group.
Yeah,
being in a group creates a little excitability.
Yeah,
and,
the pack mentality.
And lack of focus and things like that.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell we've literally had up to 7 dogs at one time. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if you think about it, have you had any formal training?
No.
Yeah.
They just fit in.
This is really common. Yeah. We acquire all these beautiful animals and we know nothing about how behavior works.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you're a mother or something, you know how behavior works. And that does translate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's where I like to come in and help people say, well, this is how we click and when we treat and when we say this and how we do this and in person, it can be really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think your personality has come through on the podcast and you seem like you'd be really easy to work with. And I think a lot of people, I know my son was having issues with his dog and the trainer offended my son, but that's because my son's easily offended. Mm. So it wasn't the trainer. Trust me, it was my son.
Yeah.
But it seems that you would be very nurturing in your approach to people on how they can better manage the issues that are going on in their house without...
Yeah. I'm a positive reinforcement trainer.
Right, so you should do it with people as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
everybody gets attaboys.
Right, so that I want people to hear that I'm hearing that talking with you, and there's that fear of that, the trainer's going to come in and tell me I'm stupid or try to make me change my whole life. Like, we all watch Caesar on TV,
Yeah. We all love Caesar.
Yes, that's stupid.
He's not accepted in the positive reinforcement community, by the way.
Well, because the humans are all stupid. It's none of it's the dog's fault. No, maybe this is the dog's fault. Okay, but no, it's your fault. So I just don't want people to feel like you're going to come into their home and make it all about them and everything they're doing wrong. Because, like you said, you're a positive reinforcement guy. I'm saying that's the feeling I'm getting from you.
Yeah, I think most people hopefully feel that way about me. And it's an opportunity for me to help, and I love that. Because people are welcoming me into their home and their lives, and it's very personal.
It
and
is. So it's vulnerable. Yeah,
yeah, it's vulnerability, absolutely.
For sure.
It takes courage to say, hey, I need help.
Right.
And that's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
And so... if I'm able to, I will. Where I start to fumble is sometimes I don't have answers to what a specific dog is doing.
Right.
And that's where the Born Trained comes, is if I actually hang out with that animal for a couple of days, I can sort of figure it out. That's what I'm discovering. It's like, I get it now.
Yeah.
Because I hear one piece of a story.
Sure.
And I see it for a moment in time during a day, but it's not the full picture. And that's oftentimes what I need.
Right, yeah. It's like therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just go to one therapy session and your whole life is solved.
You can't?
Damn it.
I got fix it fairy dust,
Oh, don't even go there. Fairy dust. I can't believe you said that. All right. So on the show notes will be a link to your website, a link to your social media. I know you have Facebook. Are you also on Instagram?
I have not yet.
Okay.
About to embark. And the social media for me is, I think, right now, primarily for existing clients that I want to, who are interested in seeing what's happening at the farm.
Sure, sure, sure.
And the new dogs that come. And so I post pictures and little funnies there.
You know what you should do?
But yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah. Really? I've heard a lot about this.
Yeah, get your clients' permission because you are in a perfect position, a perfect environment to do TikTok where people can see you just doing little behaviors with the dogs in short clips on videos.
That reminds me, let's talk about that. I want to give to the community, education.
Mm-hmm.
And classically, it's like with a hand, like a tips and tricks handout at the post office or something.
Or here, how about at town hall?
Yeah.
The hub of the community.
I need to make one. And that'll be the next step. You know, okay. TikTok, YouTube channel, perhaps.
Yeah, I think those are all great things.
Real world examples of how you know, here's an overexcited animal and we're going to help them calm down. Oh, let me show you how to do
that. I'll loan you my Julian. And the reason why her name is Julian is she was a town hall dog.
Oh.
I kept her here with me. And as she grew, she just got bored to death here. And by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she's like, get me out of here. Yeah. So that's why she's not here. But anyway, so I went back to honing in on this. We'll get all the contact information on the show notes. So if someone wants to reach out to you about boarding or training or you know, philosophies, that kind of thing, they'll be able to find you that way.
Yeah.
And are you coming? You're going to be at the trade show here at town, right?
I think
in
so.
April.
Yeah.
So people can chat with you.
Yeah, that's right. It's on my radar.
Yeah.
It's on the calendar.
Yeah. So let's wrap that up, and people can look on the show notes on our podcast platform or on our blog, and they can reach out to you.
Yeah, and I'm a mile away from town center.
Oh, cool.
So that's nice, location wise. For people, most people know where Julian is, so I'm supporting the entire county. I'm driving an hour or more to help people in their homes all the way back to the coast. And,
well, good for you. Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for coming in, Chip.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Awesome. Bye.